want to ask God to move upon this word. It says in the psalm that your word is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. And I have taken an oath and I have confirmed it that I will follow after your righteous law. And I have laid up in my word your heart that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. And let me meditate upon your scripture. Let me meditate upon your word. Let me walk in your word day and night. And Father, we pray that that is our prayer today. That your word would be a lamp unto our feet. Lord, that we would see that which is darkened, that which is hidden. Lord, that we would take your word, that we would lay it up in our hearts so that when the time comes that we can speak it under the anointing with boldness and clarity. And Father, we pray right now for Pastor John that you would anoint him. May the Spirit of God move upon him and through him and upon us. May we open our ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to speak this morning to each one of us individually and as to the church corporately. Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you've been around over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about how the Holy Spirit has been building, how he works to build, and how he also works to bring order in the church. As we know that every aspect of church life is important to God because the church is the body of Christ. The church is a representation of his son. It's the physical representation of his son on this earth. And so God has a vested interest in the church. And the Spirit-filled life is actually the normal life for someone who is truly a part of this church, who is, you know, born of the Spirit and brought into the church and become part of the church, then the Spirit-filled life should be a normal part of our life. And according to God's Word, if we are saved, then we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we also are supposed to officially become a part of the church. And there are scriptures that back that up, which we've seen. One is 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We know that God has plans for his church, but we also need to remember that the church is not just this vast group of people. The church is you. The church is me. The church is each one of us individually. The church is made up of individuals. Yes, the church itself is a body, but the body, each one of us, are a part. God gives, you know, he talks about there being this individuality even within the group. And so God, to build up his church, also then definitely has to work to build up the individuals, right? Doesn't that make sense? If you want to build the whole, you have to strengthen and build the individual part. So today what we're going to do is look at what God wants to develop and what should be growing in every one of us as individuals within the church. Every one of us individual, Spirit-led believers. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us what should be growing in us. And you may know that verse. Does anybody know what that is? Galatians 5:22? What that's about? It's about the fruit of the Spirit. It says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The first thing, at least not yet, the first thing that we need to notice is the source of this fruit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit for a reason. It has a name. It has that name for a reason. It's because the Holy Spirit is the source of this fruit. We need to remember that. That's important in what we're going to talk about today. Just to let you know right offhand, today I'm not going to get into the individual things. What we're going to do is today we're looking at a broad overlook today, and then we're going to take the time to examine this different fruit as time goes on. The Holy Spirit is the source of this fruit, and these are traits, in a sense, or characteristics, traits, and they're not something that you or I in our flesh can readily develop or manufacture. We can't just make these things happen. They grow, they develop, and they mature slowly, just as fruit does on a tree. That's why God used that, you know, that analogy of fruit. Did you ever try to force a fruit tree to produce fruit? We can't do it. We can't make it happen. You know, we do our part. We plant the tree, we water it, but only God can make it grow. If you've ever planted a fruit tree, you know you don't get fruit for a few years. And in fact, the word tells us that everything that we do for God, I mean, we do our part. We plant, we water, we tend it, but only God can bring the growth. That's the way He works. We don't know how to make life come into something. We don't know how to make fruit grow on a tree. We just take care of the tree. And then the tree produces the fruit. And the tree is like, so the source of this fruit is the Holy Spirit. The more we struggle and the more we strain to learn how to love, the more we strain to get filled with peace or to be full of joy or to get patience in our own strength, in our own power, the more frustrated we get. Why can't I get this done? Why can't I get patience now? You know, and it doesn't work when we try to make it happen, just like we can't make fruit grow on a tree. It's the same thing. Another thing we need to recognize is that we don't just get to pick and choose the fruit we want, because the Holy Spirit is the source. He's the one who decides the fruit that will grow. These are not the listing that we read. They are not isolated parts that are totally disconnected. Actually, all these things that we read, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they're totally connected, they're interconnected, and the Holy Spirit's goal is to develop all of them in us. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We don't just work on a few aspects of the Holy Spirit or what He wants to do in our life. We don't just pick out our favorite part and say, yeah, I'm just going to work on that. That's going to be my goal in life. I'm going to learn to be patient. By the time I die, I'm going to be patient. We can't just work on the easiest things. Oh, I'm a pretty, you know, laid-back guy. I think I can, that's the one I'll pick. Or, you know, I'm usually pretty happy. I'm just going to work on joy. That'll be the one I'll work on. It doesn't work that way. Each one of these traits or these fruit are wonderful in themselves. Every one of them are amazing. But our desire should be to grow all of them, to see all of them develop within us. That's what living by the Spirit is all about. How many fruit are there? Does anybody know? Well, in that list, if you were to read the list and count them up, there are 9. But let me ask you a question. Are there only 9 traits from God that we should have in our life? You guys are doing pretty good here today. Either by knowledge or just by being afraid to answer when I asked how many. Would these 9 traits, think about it, would those 9 traits describe the personality of Jesus so now you knew Him? Well, they're all parts of His personality, but do they give a complete picture of who Jesus was? No way. Are those 9 traits the exact full representation of God? No, not in any way. There are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of traits that we could find in God. Wonderful things, good things. Think of all the different character traits in the people you know. When you're describing a friend to somebody, or your parents to somebody, or your child to somebody, or what your neighbor's like, or your baby's like, and you just start to describe them, and then the next person. Can you only think of 9 things to tell about people? No, you can think of all kinds of things. And every person has different traits, different personality, different character, different ways about them. Well, because this list here is not all-inclusive. So I want to make sure we understand that. It's just an example. It's giving us a good example. Certainly, there's some of the most important traits. There's some amazing, some wonderful traits. Love. How can you beat love? The most important of all is love. And we've read that in the Word. Joy. I mean, that's a great... These are some of the all-time favorites. These are the hits, the top hits. You know, at the end of the year, they say the top, you know, things. Well, these are some of the top. But they're not all of them. There are many other great traits, too. Does it say faithfulness in there? No. That's a great trait, isn't it? So that's why after naming these 9 traits, it says that against such things. When it says such things, it means that all they were doing is he was giving a representation. He was giving us an idea about what the Holy Spirit can bring into our life. What the Holy Spirit wants to grow and develop. What kind of fruit should come out of a person who is filled with the Spirit? Because Spirit-led people should live fruit-filled lives. Think about that. Spirit-led people should live fruit-filled lives. A good fruit tree should have fruit to eat, shouldn't it? I mean, if you bought yourself a fruit tree and you got yourself a good apple tree or a peach tree or a cherry tree or a, you know, some kind of tree, and you put it in your yard, and year after year after year after year after year, you look and, man, there's no fruit on this tree. Wouldn't you be bummed? What if you bought an orchard and it never produced any fruit? What if you bought a vineyard and there was no fruit on the vines, no grapes? What good would it do? So these things are a representation. And so then we have to ask, a representation of what? What we're talking about is the character of Christ. When we say the fruit of the Spirit, what that's really bringing out of us is the character of Christ. His character traits are being grown in us. The Holy Spirit wants to develop those things. When Jesus is speaking in John 16:14 about the Holy Spirit, he says, "He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you." Now think about that. He'll bring glory to me. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor Christ by learning, you know, from the Holy Spirit what Christ is all about. So obviously, the Holy Spirit is going to be revealing God's truth about Jesus to us. Now, first and foremost, when I think of Jesus, I think of the Word. He is the Word. That scripture, I know, is talking somewhat about the Word there. But it's also revealing, the Holy Spirit is also revealing who Christ is. What He's like, His nature, His character, what He's like. I am gentle and humble. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's a rest giver. I mean, he's so many things. He's compassionate. He had compassion on them. He wept. He longed to gather the people of Jerusalem under his wing, like wings, like a mother hen would to her chicks. He's got this loving concern, this compassion. Concern, there's another trait. I mean, that's not in the list. Compassion is not in the list. So that's what I mean. There's so many traits that are not in there. There's so many fruit that are not in there. So we're supposed to be becoming more and more like Jesus as we develop as Christians. As we're growing into this tree, this fruit tree, this wonderful, amazing, you know, tree of righteousness that reflects the Lord's glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way, that we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this transformation that's supposed to be happening in us, that makes us more and more like Jesus, is happening. It comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So in other words, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And we saw that He's making known to us everything about Christ. He's showing us, He's trying to teach us to behave like Jesus would behave. Because remember, we are the representation now of Jesus on this earth. So the Holy Spirit wants to make us like Jesus. He wants us to act like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to talk like Him, to relate to people like He would. And we can't just do this. We can't just read a book and get that down and study it. Someone has to help us. Someone has to give us the ability. So, are any of us there yet? I'm sure not. Anybody here got it down? I don't see any hands. Is the fruit of the Spirit wholly operational in your life? Only one that's ever been complete in is Christ. Just because we have the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that we are fully matured in every area, every trait of Christ in our life. It's not something that's just automatic. As soon as we get, you know, we get born in the Spirit, as soon as we get saved, as soon as we get, you know, delivered, whatever, that all of a sudden, bam, we're fully functional tree filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and now every character trait, every aspect of Jesus, and we become like Christ. It doesn't happen that easy. And we all know that. But once again, it's like fruit on a tree. This God expects it to take time for these traits to mature in us. We get so impatient. We get upset with ourselves because we're not perfect yet. We condemn ourselves. We criticize ourselves. The devil likes to jump right in on top of that and blame us and tell us, you know. And, you know, other people will sometimes cut us down and say something. And we take all this condemnation. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set us free from this. Just like a newborn baby. It takes time for that baby to learn how to crawl, how to sit up, how to walk, and how to talk. It takes time to do those things. And, you know, we don't slap that baby or spank that baby or yell or scream at that baby because it can't crawl yet. I sure hope not. As loving parents, we know that it's going to take time for that child to grow up. God knows it's going to take time for us to grow up. So we can't condemn ourselves because we're not full of everything of God yet. The idea is that we have to allow the nurturing by God, allow the nutrients to come up in us, put ourselves in His light so that sun can shine into us, allow ourselves to be cultivated and to grow so that we can mature, so that we can produce fruit. New Christians typically start out with a bang. You know? I mean, it's great. I love seeing somebody who just got saved who's really on fire. It's really cool, you know? And, you know, the experience of that initial joy of their salvation and, you know, this new relationship with God that they're experiencing, that they're now, they don't feel like they got to run and hide, that, you know, you have this peace with God and you get to enjoy the love of God, and all of a sudden you got this whole new field of people that you can, you know, experience and get to know and love, all the your brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's wonderful. It truly is. And there's no reason in the world that it can't just keep getting better and better and better and better. And it can, and that in that we can grow and develop if, and here it is, a big if we don't live in a fantasy land. If we don't think that now, just because we became a Christian, now everything's going to be easy, everything's going to be perfect. And there's going to be no more, you know, problems, no more worries that the job is done, that now I got hit with the Holy Spirit, I got saved, man, now I'm ready to go, now I'm all set, I can do anything, and, you know, and we get this, and we don't have to work at it. We don't have to, you know, keep our guard up and stuff like that. But instead, if we look in the Word, which is always the place to check out everything, we are warned over and over and over again to be on guard, to be careful, to not give in to the things that could stop us and prevent us from growing, but instead to persevere so that fruit has enough time to grow. In Matthew 16:6, it says, "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He was talking about hypocrisy. Be careful not to become a hypocrite and play Christianity. Or he's talking about religion. Don't get into religion. See, we're not about religion. They were religious. They were religious zealots. They were religious in every way, to the umpteenth degree. They followed every religious law, but they had no relationship with God. We're into relationship with Christ. I mean, some people will call it religion. You know, hey, he got religion. Yeah, okay, I accept that if somebody wants to say that. But I understand that God's not looking for religious people who do their duty in a religious manner, in like a legalistic kind of way. That's not what he wants. We have to be on guard that we don't do that, get into that routine, follow all the rules, look good on the outside, like a whitewashed tomb or a sepulcher, like he called the Pharisees, and then just go on our way and not really care about God. Mark 13:22 says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear, perform signs and wonders to deceive, even if possible, the elect." So be on your guard. I've told you everything ahead of time. So we have to watch out for false ideas, false philosophies, false, you know, not get sucked into rabbit trails that take us away from our faith. All the different denominations, all the cults that are out there, all started out with just a few wrong things, and then they developed a whole religion based on that as they went further and further off the trail. Luke 12:15 says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" Some people are just consumed with wanting things. "He who dies with the most wins." Did you ever see that bumper sticker? I prefer the other one that says there's no U-Haul at the end of the funeral procession. We don't take anything with us. So it doesn't do us any good to store up everything thinking that that's what's going to save us. Remember the story about the guy who built bigger barns? And it said that he died that night. It didn't do him any good. In Luke, Jesus uses the parable of the seed sower to show people, you know, what he means and how we can start out on a faith walk, on this journey, but how we can miss the mark. It says in Luke 8:13, the seed, it's talking about the seed is the Word of God, and this guy's been sowing seed. And then it says, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the Word with joy." Now see, that's somebody who got the Word of God, and they received it. And when they hear it, receive it with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. So they don't really dig in. They don't really, and that's something that can stop us from growing. If that fruit tree has no root, they have no root. Where'd it go here? They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall. So when the times get tough, they fail. We don't want to be that. We don't want to sit here all gung-ho and then the first time something bad happens, and things bad will happen, we know. Here and there, that's life. We can't fall away because something bad happens. The next verse says, "Then the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, all the things about life, and they do not mature. So, it does. You know what's interesting there? It doesn't say that, you know, that they don't remain as a Christian. It doesn't. It says that they don't mature. So people that get consumed with the things of life, the things of the world, worrying about how they're going to make it, worrying about, you know, getting more stuff, worrying about, you know, what people think, worrying about all this kind of stuff, they never mature. They just remain baby Christians all their lives. Will they make it? I don't know. But it doesn't say they won't. So I'm not going to say what he's talking about there because it doesn't say. And then it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So in other words, when they really get in, they got the root, you know, they hear it, they take it in, their heart is right with God, and they study that word, they get to know it, and then something happens. They begin to grow, and that fruit comes out. They mature, the fruit comes out. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome the world. So he's warning us all these times and he's saying, yeah, things are going to happen, but don't let it get you down. Jesus overcame the world. And after his resurrection, if you remember, he said, I must go so I can send the promised gift to you. What was that promised gift? The Holy Spirit. So he knows that, you know, he's overcome death now. He's had the victory and he's made it and he's going through. He's one of the first fruits, in fact, he's even called, you know. And so now we're going to be coming after him and he says, I'm going to send you someone to help you. I want you to, I'm the first fruits, now you're going to be even more. And now I want to help you so you can grow. So you can be the second fruits, or the third fruits, or the 10 millionth fruits, or whatever. So you can have fullness of life, so you can have power within you, so you can grow into maturity, so you can develop. So he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And now we find out as we read through the scriptures that as if we walk in the Spirit, if we're led by the Spirit, if we keep in step with the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then we will persevere. This is our power. This is our strength. This is what enables us. And we will overcome the world. This was the provision that Christ gave us. We'll grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and then we'll be taking on this character. The character traits of Christ will be becoming more like him. How can we tell if we're on the right path? How can we tell if we're progressing, if our fruit is growing, we're developing, if we're maturing? You know, it's always hardest to see the growth in ourselves. It's not easy. Sometimes we don't see that we're growing. So I got a couple things here. One of the things in the Bible it tells us is that we have to do is we have to take a step back and examine ourselves. Well, if we're going to examine ourselves, we have to do it in light of the Scriptures, right? That's the way we do it. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Look at the list in Galatians 5:22 that we read. See those examples of that fruit, of those traits of God, the things that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us, and ask yourself, do you see that in yourself? Is it evident in you? Is it growing? Am I more loving than I was when I got saved? Am I more patient? Do I have more joy than I used to have? And all these other things, like I said, that list is in no way conclusive. Do we see the character of Christ growing, developing, maturing in us? Are we being transformed? Are we changing? We don't want to be the same. We want to be changing. We want to see change in our life. God does not change. We change as we become more like him. Are you producing fruit? Luke 6:43 says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What's coming out of you? What's coming out of you? Our character is something that's inside, something that people can't see. I've heard it said, and I know I've said it, that character is what we do when no one's around, when no one can see us, how we behave, whether someone sees us or not. But our character can, in many ways, be recognized by what we say and do on the outside. That's what this fruit, that's what he's talking about. We can also ask those close to us. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to see how we're changing. You know, like your grandchild comes over, or somebody, your niece or nephew that you haven't seen in a couple years, the first thing you say is, man, did you ever grow up? Now you ask them, and they look and they think, I don't think I'm growing that much. But the last time you saw them, they were 2 feet, now they're 6. You grew 4 feet, man. You're triple your height, you know. But it's so slow in ourself, we don't recognize it. So we need to ask those close to us. That's a good way to find out what's really happening in our life. It's one of the ways. We check the Word, too, but we can ask other people, and what kind of changes have you seen in my life, especially those people who are close to us? Because they can see the growth easier than we can. We should have, you know, during our walk with Christ, in our Christian walk, we should be growing close to different people. Nothing proves our relationship with the Holy Spirit more than the relationships that we have with other people. You know that? God wants us to build relationships. The old no man is an island, you know, that's not what God wants. The Holy Spirit is always working to bring unity in the church. How can you have unity? How can we bring all things together in Christ if we keep everyone at arm's distance? It doesn't work that way. Every fruit, every gift, everything that God gives us, everything that He's done in us, He does that to strengthen the body. God's always working to build His body. We, in 1 Corinthians 12:23, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are operating in the fruit of the Spirit will be bodybuilders. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. The Holy Spirit is a bodybuilder, and He uses us to help build the body. We've all got our parts to play, and we're all connected to one another. It's not an individual job in the sense that we're off alone doing our own thing. We all have our individual jobs, but we're not alone in doing it. We're together. We're interdependent. And our goal as bodybuilders, as fruit-filled believers, is to bring love into that body and all that fruit into the body, to bring the character of Christ into our body. Imagine if Jesus was here and He was constantly going amongst and saying, you know, you could do this. And He would just have all this wisdom and this wonderful, amazing ability to be able to speak the truth and life into every situation that you're involved in. And He walks up to you and says, yeah, that was good, but you should do this. And we say, oh, okay, yes. All right, Jesus, I'll do that. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to lead us and guide us in everything that we do. And He wants to constantly give us that give and take and always sort of like, you know, give us an ongoing advisory of how we're living. That's called keeping in step, or living by the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit. So what can we do to help this process of growing and maturing? How can we help it along? Well, the first thing we have to do is humble ourselves and admit that, you know, our own weaknesses and our own inability to do this on our own, because we cannot do it on our own. We can't. We cannot be like Jesus. This flesh does not want to be like Jesus. This flesh could care less about being like Jesus. This flesh only wants one thing, its own way. So we're incapable of being a good, growing, maturing Christian on our own. We have to admit that. We need to recognize that, get it right out there in the open, and just, I know I can't do that. And not just say it, but really believe it and deal with that as we're praying, as we're living, as we're, you know, working with others. We can't walk with the Holy Spirit unless we're also being continually filled with the Spirit. So we have to always open ourselves up. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous process of being refilled. That tree, the fruit that goes off of that tree has nutrients from the ground, water coming down from the rain, sun coming in. It's constantly being replenished. Otherwise, that tree would die. There'd be no fruit coming out of it at all. We can't produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit. That's what it comes down to. We need the Spirit like we need food, like we need water, like we need oxygen, like we need this blood flowing through our veins. If any of that's gone, we're dead. Once we realize and we accept how important this is, then we should be doing everything in our power that we can to help in this process. In 2 Peter 1:5-9, it says, "For this very reason, then, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," these are the traits, these are more traits, "they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." Some traits from this list were listed from the same list, the fruit of the Spirit. But the rest of those qualities, there are still more traits and more qualities, more character traits of Christ. I'm telling you, they're all throughout the Word. And it tells us there that if whoever does not have them, if we don't have these, if we're not working to bring these things out, if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit in us to bring these out, then we're nearsighted and blind. And what's happened is we're forgetting that we've already been cleansed from our past sins, that we have this ability now to move forward. We still get bogged down in our sin. We need to remember that even though the Holy Spirit is working these traits in us, we have to do our part. Like it said, make every effort. We have to cultivate this fruit like it was our own garden. In a sense, it is. And ask yourself, what grows in an uncultivated garden? Does anybody here ever have gardens? If you leave it alone, what grows in there?
Weeds.
It's pretty obvious, right? And weeds would represent the flesh, sin, just coming back in. Stuff we don't want. So we have to tend that garden. So we have to make every effort to add all these things into our life. And because as we sow, you know, we reap, right? And so as we sow into the Spirit, as we put our effort into growing in the Spirit, we will reap then in the Spirit. And then as we are being filled with the Spirit and being full of the fruit of the Spirit, now we sow ourselves into others. We offer ourselves to others. We work with others. We get into people's lives and we walk in unity with other believers. We sow ourselves. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we don't feel like going to this meeting or that function or helping that person or calling that one or doing this. But God, over and over, He's given us all kinds of things about doing that kind of stuff, doing our part in the body of Christ so that we can inspire others, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can support one another, so that we can pray for one another, so that we can love one another, so that we can build one another up. All these are words from Scripture, encouragements to us to get involved with others. The Holy Spirit will draw us to other people because iron sharpens iron, and we all help one another grow. One last thing I'll mention today is that will help us, I hope, help us grow, is that, and it's something that we heard down here during the prayer, is that we have to continually walk by faith. And when we walk by this faith, we have to do this when it comes to letting the Holy Spirit lead us. It's so easy for us, and I know I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, it's so easy for us to just think about what we should do without allowing the Spirit of God to minister, without going to prayer first, without, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We just jump and do instead of allowing the Spirit of God. And when we have these trials that we go through, when we have situations, we need to say, wait a minute, I got to stop. I just want to take a moment and just try to hear from God, so I can then go in this direction by faith. The biggest problem we have with our sin nature sometimes is accepting that this sin in us was dealt with on the cross. Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and we have to ask ourselves, do we really see sin being dealt with there? Do we see our sin is dealt with there, to the point where we don't allow this sin to take control of us again? Do we have the faith not to let sin get its claws inside of us? We can't let sin slash our flesh have control of our life. We want to let the Holy Spirit have that control. That's why Jesus sent His Spirit. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Our carnal, sinful nature was crucified on the cross with Jesus. That's what He's trying to get across to us, that the power of sin that was over us was dealt the death blow on that cross. It doesn't have the power unless we allow it to have that power. The victory was won on Calvary. And sometimes we have a hard time appropriating that. So we have to accept, we have to activate this gift. Now, God gave me an interesting way of looking at this last night. I was thinking about, you ever get a credit card? You know, you sign up for a credit card, or they give you your new credit card that you've got one, they give you the new one in the mail, and it comes with this little sticker on there. You ever seen those stickers? And it tells you right on the sticker that you must call this number if you want to activate the card, right? Without calling that number, and if you don't activate that card is completely useless. You go to the store, and they say, it's not working. Because it's never been turned on. It's never been activated. It's a valid card. It's a real card. It's just waiting to be used by you. But until we call that number from our home phone, you can't call it from the store. You have to call it from your home phone. It's waiting to see the same phone number that you called from. That's one of their ways of making sure that it's a valid card. So you call it from home. You activate the card. And now it's ready to be used. Well, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to activate our victory. He was sent to activate that power now in our life. And if we don't activate the Holy Spirit in us or allow Him to lead us, If we don't let that fruit grow in our life, it's not doing us any good. We run the risk then of that tree that produces no fruit, the one the Word says to cut it down. I mean, if we just refuse, and I'm not talking about somebody who's really trying to serve God and just messes. I'm talking about somebody who's just really not caring about growing. And, you know, about following after the Lord and growing in the fruit of the God, the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew 7:19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's a real warning. That's the hard kind of stuff that we don't like to hear. Every tree that does not bear good fruit. Because see, if we've got the Holy Spirit and we're following after God, we're going to bear good fruit. But if we reject the Spirit, if we never activate the Holy Spirit, the thing that God promised us, that He's there for us, if we never partake of that, we're going to be an empty, dead tree, ready to be cut down and thrown in the fire. And we need to remember that this is not this heavy burden that God is putting on us. He says, come to me if you're heavy laden and burdened. I'll give you rest. All you who are weary, I'll give you rest. God will do it. The Holy Spirit will do it through us. We just have to allow Him in. Push the activation button. Call the number. The number is, God, fill me with Your Spirit. Allow me to be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, just come, you know, on me today, Lord. And as we're praying and just really asking, having our heart open to God to move in us. And as we do this, we become not only a fruitful tree, but in the scripture I want to read, which I'm ending with, it's called a tree of righteousness or an oak of righteousness. A planting of God bringing glory to His name. And I love this scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus loved it too. He quoted it one time. And this is for us. You see, just as Jesus quoted this scripture and said this is happening now in Him when He was in the temple, as we allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and we've activated the Holy Spirit within us and that fruit is growing on us, then this is talking about us. This should be you and me, all of us. Here it is. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me. Has God anointed you? Yes, He has. He has anointed you with His Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We live in times of despair. People are despairing now, and that's not just people in the world. Christians are despairing. They shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. But if we get hung up on the things of the world, we will be despairing. That's not what God wants for us. Instead, we should be the ones who bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They, meaning us, will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of His splendor. That's you. God wants you to be called an oak of righteousness, a tree that is producing fruit, a tree, a fruitful, Spirit-led Christian that is a tree that will, you know, is obvious for God, bringing honor and glory to God, that when people come under your shelter, under your protection, they feel the presence of God. They feel that spirit of despair just fading away. They feel the ashes being swept away. They feel the mourning passing away, and instead they feel joy. They feel that praise coming in. They feel security. They feel safety. They feel peace and love and joy and hope and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and all those things. Because we become that tree producing that fruit as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your destiny. That's what God created you for. He created you to be a tree of righteousness, displaying His splendor. And we got to remember that. We're not displaying our glory. We're displaying His glory. This is not about us. This is about us showing off God so that we can help to build His kingdom, build His church, so that we can help to bring all things under the headship, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our vision. That's our purpose. So let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You, Lord God. We thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You are filling us, You are growing in us, You are producing in us, You are maturing us and building the character of Jesus Christ within us, Lord God. That we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. That we are becoming more and more like Him every day. Thank You, God. Lord, I pray that there would be a confidence within us as Christians to know that You are there, that we would have faith to know that You are building those things in us, and that we would walk then in that faith as we are led by Your Spirit, proclaiming and displaying Your splendor and Your glory. Use us, Lord, to be that place of shelter. Use us to be that tree of righteousness. Use us, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.